Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Lord, we desire to learn more from you. Lord, lead us and guide us and keep us healthy. Keep us strong, Father God, for these days ahead. For we know not what lies before us, but you do. And Lord, as we remain close to you, Lord, I truly believe you will have us prepared and ready to take on anything that comes along our path. And Father, that we will gain victory over whatever it is, the whatevers, through you. Not by our strength, not by our might, our wisdom, our knowledge, our abilities, Lord, for we are nothing without you. So here we are. Have at it, Lord. Let your word penetrate us, Lord. And as that word enters into us, Lord, let that word help us rise up above whatever it is that we might have to deal with. Let it be your strength, your vitality. We thank you, Lord, for joy, happiness, and peace. Patience, Lord, for it all comes from you. Amen. Well, we're back on track here, picking up from last week a little bit, talking about don't fret, look for the glory of God. Looking out in Numbers 13, chapter 13, 14, in that area where the Lord and God is wanting to send them over to that promised land that he has prepared for them. And he told them to pick some people and some out of the 12 tribes and to send these 12 men over to spy out the land to see what's over there. Now, God already knew what was over there. Says it was flowing with milk and honey. It was a good land. It was for them. God had prepared it. But even over there that God had prepared, the spies went out there, the scouts, whatever we want to call them, and they looked and they saw, and the majority found fear, intrepidation. We can't do it. Too many obstacles. They're more fortified than what we can handle. They're bigger than us. So we shared in Numbers 13, speaking about these viewpoints that come across. And I want to go back, and when we look at 13, to kind of refresh us, in Numbers 13, it talks about all of these things and what they saw and what the 10 had said and what the 2 had said, totally different, opposite of whatever. But the thing is, they had generalities. Is God said, I've given you this land. And my hope for us today is that God has given you your tomorrows. God has prepared those days for you. And it's going to behoove you to enter into that tomorrow. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. It could be like it has been for the last 2 years, the last 6 months. It's been a hard time. What can my tomorrow hold but probably the same as the past? No, your tomorrow holds your future, which God has prepared. And maybe you went through some hardships the last year, 6 months, 5 years, whatever the case is, but he was pruning you and teaching you and grooming you and giving you the ability to build up your faith so that you would be able to go over and take the country. Go over and take your tomorrows. God has prepared those for you, but he's not going to give you them. You've got to go get them. You've got to go enter into that time for what your future holds and not be held back by what you had seen in the past or even what you might have opinions of. And that's what I want to get into a little bit. And so I went back just last night even. And it's just through some thought processes out of some footnotes, study guides and things. But I want to share a little bit of a quick replay of Numbers 13:27. 13:27, and then they told him and they said, "We went to that land where you sent us and it truly flows with milk and honey and this is its fruit." The promised land, which we would know as the land of Canaan, was a very magnificent, beautiful place by all counts. We find it called with that of a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I'm going to tell you, Milk and honey to me sounds pretty good. Now, if it was like it's a country filled with cod liver oil and broccoli, I'd say, yuck. No, I like broccoli. The land was somewhat small, though, in size. It wasn't a big, great, grandiose plot of land. You know, reading up on it, it says the land was somewhat small in overall size. It was about 150 miles long and about 60 miles wide. There you go. There's your promised land. But it was the land flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't a big acreage or plot of land, but it was good land. It reminds me to understand what God would say, like, with God, little is much. We had messages on that way back on those type things. That with God on your side, you've got more than you need to conquer whatever battle lies before you. But that battle is so big. But do you not know how big your God is? And I think that's where we got to get to that understanding. You, not maybe you here today, but people in generalities, they look at and they think their God is like, mediocre, so big, he can only do so much, I don't know, but God. Well, I am able to go up and take the country, yeah, because of what God is for me, as he's prepared those things for those times. But here again, 150 miles long, 60 miles wide. This is the land that he had prepared. The hillsides, we've read and you have things and descriptions of, they were covered with figs and dates and nut trees. This land is the land that God had promised way back to Abraham, Isaac, and that of Jacob. It goes way back, way back. He had already prepared it. Guess when? Way back. He has prepared your tomorrows way back when he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. The plan, the preparedness, the greatness that he has for us, God has planned for each of us to be a success and to succeed and to fulfill. And when we do those things because it gives the ability for us to then what? To give God the glory. What about 28 to 29? It says, nevertheless, the people who, this is Numbers 13, 28 and 29, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Oh my goodness. And then 29, it goes in, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountainous, and the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and along the banks of that of the Jordan. So when we read that, the spies that were sent out, they did. And this is today for us today. I'm not saying deny the circumstances, to deny where you're at. Because to me, that's being foolish if you don't actually see and say, this is a formidable task before me. We don't want to be flippant and say, oh, well, I can, it's no big thing. Well, no, it's not a big thing. But I'm saying in our eyes and as we see these things in the natural and for man, it could be a formidable type situation that we could say that it appears to me to be very hard. It's going to cause some time. I don't know how I'm going to do it. We get to the understanding of we get down to the finite of it all. It's not how I'm going to do it. It's how God has already done it for me, but I've got to just attain it and walk through it. But anyway, the spies they sent out, they see the formidable challenges before them through their natural eyes. How many here are natural? Okay. We live in a body, but we're spirit and all these, but we have a natural. My eyes see, I can see there's a wall before me. And if I say to somebody, I'm going to break through that wall by the power of God. And I run, and it really wasn't by the power of God speaking to me to do it. I'm going to hit that wall and probably knock myself loonier than what I am, and probably bounce back and fall on my backside. So it's not to deny things. And that's, sometimes we make out those 10 like, oh boy, who are they, oh little faith. I'm going to tell you, many of us in this room today began at one time with little faith. Hello, 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 hello. I don't think I see anybody here that once you got Jesus, you were powered up, And now, initially, maybe you thought, like, this is the greatest thing since bread and butter, you know, sliced bread and butter. But it wasn't too long that you came against some obstacles. The natural eyes of the men that they sent out would see some possible improbabilities under their own strength. And I would say this to you for today. I agree with you. Tomorrow's that God has for you, it's a challenge. I don't know how you're going to do it, guys. It's pretty insurmountable odds or whatever the case might be. But then I got to go back to my understanding and what I've learned from that of God's word. It's like, yeah, but. Anybody here can say, yeah, but? Yeah, but. With God, I can do all things. Yeah, but. But my strength comes from upon high. So they would see these things under their own strength that it was like pretty scary. Well, they talk about the fortified cities that these scouts, these spies went out to see. They were surrounded by high walls. There's a reading up on that. It says the high walls could be as much as 25 feet tall, 20 feet thick. And here we go, guys. Come on, join me. We're going to go to the promised land. Come on! It's like that wall, but like 20 feet thick. And that is, but higher than what that is. We can go take it. I am able to go up and take the country from the land of Jordan. Well, you can if you're powered up with God. And you know that you've got God with you on your side. And that God has told you to go do something. There would usually be guards, of course, that would be stationed atop these walls. And what are they doing? They're spying out and looking out into the hillside to see if there's any foe coming towards them. Sound the alarm. Hey, there's people coming. Gear up the garrison. There's a battle coming. Now, that would be, you know, pretty hard in itself to say, well, we can do that. Plus, they saw these men. And they stood 7 to 9 feet tall or taller to that of the Israelites. And to them, they would feel like what they say, grasshopper. Ah, grasshopper. So 7 to 9 feet tall, you know, so they were tall. They were, if you're going to be that tall, they're probably built pretty good, you know. So it's not to say, oh, those 10 people, those, whatever. So they would feel like grasshoppers. They described it that way. This did what? It struck fear into the hearts of the scouts. So they did see obstacles in the land. Now, in 33, we find it says here, then there we saw the giants, the descendants, okay, and it goes on to all that. They're grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. This negative opinion of the ten caused a great rebellion. If I look at that of 14:4, I'm going to read through that. So in Numbers 13:33, They're talking about these giants. And then in chapter 14, so all the congregation, they lifted up their voices, they cried, and the people wept that night, and all of the children of Israel. And you can read that all the way through that. And when we get into 4, it talks about, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They were ready to turn back and say, forget it. We're going back. The negative opinion of 10 people, 10 men, caused a great rebellion among the people. Doesn't take many to cause a conflict. Doesn't take many to cause chaos in a group. Doesn't take many to cause a breakup and stuff in a church setting when two or three people in there want to stir up and cause a division or whatever the case is. So the negative opinion of 10 men caused a great rebellion among the people because it is a human nature to accept opinion as fact. And see, that's where when people start talking about stuff and all of these things, the opinions, they really don't matter because it's not facts. It's just an opinion. It's just, this is what I see. What do you see? I see their whatever. I see this. I see that. And others would say, well, I see it differently. It's their opinion. But we got to look at the facts of things. The fact is that God already told them, go up and take the country. That's the fact. That God was going to be there for them. God was preparing them. God would be there. God said go. Why would you say no to go to what God says you to do? Because they're human. They see the natural. Because it is human nature to accept opinion as fact, we must be, we, you, me, us, be very careful when voicing our negative opinions. What we say could very well influence the actions of those who trust us to give them sound advice. If anybody would come to any of us, to me or whatever, and saying, Pastor, I am going to go do this, or whatever the case is, I would say, that's great. What gave you the clue to do that? Well, you know, I had a pepperoni pizza last night. Well, then I would say, let's talk. I think it may not be that of God. But if they come and they say, Pastor, this is what I believe God. God has spoken to me to go do this. What am I to say? Oh, sounds pretty heavy. Sounds a lot to do. Are you really sure? Did you? You know, it's like, so God told you this. Yes. How did he tell you? I was reading scripture. He was this. I was in meditation. I was in prayer. I was whatever the case might be. I'm not going to come and say, well, that sounds very foolish. How did you hear that from God? No. I'm going to say, that's awesome, brother, sister. How did God tell you? What measure did God give you? And then they would hopefully share, I was in prayer. I've been praying for this for season. His word bounced off of the page in this scripture, in this verse, and this happened to me. And I heard this, and I've seen this. Then it's like, okay, brother or sister, let's pray. Lord, as they have heard, and they say they've heard from you, Lord, let your will be done, and let them capture that vision. Give them the strength, the stability, the stamina, and let them go and possess that land or possess that place or to do what you've asked them to do and give them that ability that you've already given them. But Lord God, thank you. And bless them and send them on their way. Or we could go, are you really sure that God told you that? Well, maybe it's not that. Maybe you just heard. Maybe. You don't want to come as a downer, but you want to be positive and say, that sounds awesome. And you do want to talk to them, but you don't want to give them well, here's my opinion. If that were me, I wouldn't go. Well, that's true because God didn't tell you. That makes sense. And so we've got to handle it very fragile. It's very important when God speaks to people or speaks to churches or speaks to a group or whatever to say, this is what I have for you to do. What we are to do is to pray for them, to keep them in prayer, for God to show them, to strengthen them, to give them the vision and continued vision to accomplish that. Thank you, Lord. So that's a little bit about, kind of, I just wanted to revisit a little bit about that. Because we kind of brush over it and we get kind of sometimes haughty within ourselves because we're super spiritual people because we've already read the whole beginning to the end and we know how it happened and how it ended. So it's like, oh, well, those guys are just, any of us strong Christians ought to be able to jump up and do that. So that was just a little follow-up that I felt last night as I was looking at it that I wanted to touch upon. Because we're all there, or we will all be there. Or we've been there. It's not to deny the things that God has for you. It's not to say that you can't accomplish them from what God has told you. But it's just to make sure that God told you. And stay prayed up. So remember last week we got to this part here in Numbers 14:10. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. The glory of the Lord. Remember the new, or the Amplified says this, and all the congregation stood to stone them stones, and now the glory, or the Amplified puts this in there, the brilliance. The brilliance appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all of the children of Israel. That glory, the brilliance. And I wanted to just read a little bit here And it's in some other areas of the Bible, but in Isaiah 60. In Isaiah 60, of course, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." There's a song, a chorus like that, isn't there? Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nothing like having the glory of the Lord shine around you, huh, Don? Yeah. So that glory of the Lord, it's a weightiness. When that glory hits, there's a weight. It's not suppression or oppression, but there's a weight of the power and the brilliance of that of God. So definition, the word wealth of this word glory is kavod, which is Shabbat, was C-H-A-B-O-D, but it's, I guess, pronounced as K-A-H-V-O-H-D. But it means weightiness, that which is substantial or heavy. I'm going to tell you, when God gets around you and the glory of God is next to you and around you, you're going to feel something that's totally different than you've ever felt upon this earth. It's going to be glory, going to be honor, splendor, power. It's going to be a power around you. You probably feel like the light, the brilliance. It could be, you know, blinding to you in the spiritual realm as you look at it. I think, go back to the Old Testament, and that's when, you know, with Moses and Moses, with that of the commandments, when going up on the mountain, he couldn't look upon, you know, the brilliance of God, and, you know, the brightness and all the glory. But anyway, power, heavy glory, honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, the fame, dignity, riches, and excellency. In the Old Testament, heaviness represented that of honor and substance, while lightness was equated with vanity or an instability or temperedness. But anyway, this word, God's glory, not only his honor and renown about his majesty, but it's also his visible splendor, which filled Solomon's temple and will someday fill that of the earth. The brilliancy of that of God. That's the glory of God. And his coming again, amen. But I know in our own walk in life with him today, when we are reaching out and asking and we're communicating with him and inviting him into our life, that in that spiritual realm, in our prayer times and our meditations, there's probably going to, and you will sense that heaviness, that power, the magnificence of that of God, the overshadowing of that, that it's going to be the glory of God. Well, that's what came into this. And all the congregation said to stone them with the stones. They went to kill them. I mean, you're not just stoning them just to stone them. They went to kill them. And now the glory of the Lord appeared, and I bet that changed the whole atmosphere. Fall down, go low. And we know those that brought that charge of how bad it was and all, they didn't make it. God put a plague upon them, illness upon them, they died. Whatever God has planned, he's going to fulfill it. And if anybody's in his way, he will give them an opportunity to repent, probably. But if they're so hard-hearted and they've been like that for a season and all years, I'm not saying this now, but there's grace and mercy and all that, but I'm just saying though, but even in our end times, as things, we look at the world as a hand, there's nothing that man will do. I've got to be careful saying that, because there is possibilities that as the fervent prayer of a child of God, that we could possibly extend some things out there because of God's grace and mercy. You know, who is that gentleman? He gave an additional 10 years. You know, let me live. So God will listen and hear our prayers, and he may say by his mercy to say, okay, child, I'm going to extend it. But there's only so many times that he's going to extend things out to where he says, now it's starting to interfere with my calendar of what the finality is going to be. And the time will come. But if that's the case, all I know is that whatever God's word says is going to happen here, today, in the future, in the centuries, decade, whatever the case is, when the coming of the Lord again, it's going to happen. And no matter what we do, try to do, not do, it's not going to hinder it. Because God will say, you're not going to go with me? Out of my way. I got something I got to do. I'm on a mission. But if we are continually being faithful to him and wanting to be used by him, and we are willing to go into our tomorrows with him, I don't know where that's going to take you other than I'm going to tell you it's going to be good. Amen? Well, what about this? What about that? Well, yeah, life is hard. You might have a stubbed toe now and then. You might be afflicted, whatever the case might be. But who is your physician and healer? God, Jesus, hallelujah. Who's going to sustain you with his power? God, when I'm weak and feeble, God, hallelujah. Don't look at our ages. Don't look at what we feel like now. Many of us have aches and pains, you know. My goodness. I think sometimes it's just to let you know you still got legs. You still got knees. I can feel them every once in a while, you know, daily. Yes, but God is God, and he will get us through. Oh, we got to pray. Continued healing, strengthening in us, Lord. Our prayer with my wife and myself, and we pray in, at times and supper and all, it's, Lord, Lord, keep us healed, keep us strong. But, yes, oh, I'm on a prescription. Oh, yes, I got to go to the doctor. Oh, yes, this has happened. But I'm still praying, Lord, heal us and strengthen us. Keep our body strong because we want to serve you, Lord. Father, to accomplish the mission before us, give us health and healing and strength. But I'm going to tell you, maybe it's going to be on a cane or on a walker. But that's not to say I do not serve my God and that I'm not going forward with him. This is, you know, bless your heart, Janice, the walker, us with canes, us with that, whatever the case might be. It's just temporal. It's for this side of heaven. We're going to use this, but we're going to march on. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. The very nature of what you're possibly dealing with, but yet how you're still serving God, could be an eye-opener to somebody watching you to say, oh my gosh, and you've got this physical limitations or whatever, but you're a powerhouse for God? There must be something about it. Tell me about it, right, Janice? I mean, I'm not wanting to pick on you, my sister. You're a testimony. You're a walking testimony. Like, yeah, and they're saying, that's right, Janice. Yeah, go to church. Now, they're not going to church, mind you. But they're sitting around. I'm sure they're sitting around their table having coffee. They're like, Janice, that's great that you're going to church. That's awesome. That's awesome. Pray for us. Okay, anyway, well, let's give me the Sunday paper. Let me look at this. Hey, you too could go to church. You too could be fulfilling what God has a plan for you. But it's a testimony, walking out, walking with, whatever the case might be, that God is my God. We've shared many times different ones that have even limited of limbs and no legs and no arm, no whatever. They're a powerful testimony. Still serving God. How do you serve God when you got to be set up on a table and say, here, they're only this tall. As a man, but they're just speaking out the power of God. This is just temporal. He's got a full body in heaven. My knees are hurting, but I got new knees in heaven. Whatever the case might be, I got to look to the future to know that there's something better. It gets gooder as the days go by. Oh, my, my. My Lord and I. But yes, we're still here. God has not called you home, guys, so don't give up. I appreciate that, Janice. We've got work to do. Don't waller in the pities of, oh, you know, if you're going to waller in something, waller in the glory of God. Shout the joys of God. So God uses the wilderness to provide that of humility, to prove and remove pride, teach resiliency on that of God. This is why does God put us in the wildernesses? To do that, to remove our pride, teach us reliance or resiliency. It's a testing to prove character. It refines our obedience to Him. It's a preparation to prepare for that future promise and the fruitfulness that He has for us. Remember the pruning and all? Remember, you prune. I thought I had a good fruit, but He just pruned off my little bud. What's going on? Because He wants you to have juicier fruit. He wants you to have more luscious fruit. It's an intimacy. It's a quiet place to hear God's voice. How many times are we out there in that wilderness or whatever the case we call it, in the desert, whatever there might be, but yet it's a place to hear God's voice away from distractions. And as many distractions are in this world today, you might have a wonderful wilderness experience, and sometimes you might not even want to leave the wilderness. Now, you want to leave the wilderness to go to the promised land, right? Or the promises He has for you. But I believe that's the wilderness is a place where there is no cell tower, is no Wi-Fi, is no computer. It's just you and God. Listening. Hearing. And if nothing else, it's just to say, I love you, God. It's been a long time, Tim, since I've heard you say that. Oh, I'm sorry. I love you, God. That's why every day, throughout the day, I say, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. It's not to just willy-nilly to say it, but it's like, I love you, God. Thank you, Father. Even in the wilderness, God provides. Isaiah 43:19. In the wilderness, God is present, providing for the needs, ultimately working to bring you out stronger. Every time we get knocked down and we get back up with God, you just got a little bit stronger. Every time you've had a frustration, a situation, a trial, a problem, you sustain through that, it just makes you, guess what, a little bit stronger, a little bit more in faith, a little bit more to take on, whatever that is. But look at that in Isaiah 43:19. Now behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches and the turkeys in Janesville that are running rampant on the neighborhoods, chasing our mailmen and our kids. Because I give waters in the wilderness. See, you think when you're in the wilderness, you're dry and parched. You're not being fed. Didn't God not give the children in the wilderness manna and fed them and maintained them and sustained them? Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. And it goes on to share these things. But I'm here to say that in your desert, God says, I've got and I can make a river in your desert. And I will bring you refreshments and refreshing times. This is another place. I found this again using Rick Renner, one of his teachings. The wilderness is not a place for punishment. You know, that's the wrong thought process. Many times our good Christian brothers and sisters, when they get out in the wilderness, they think God's punishing them. They go, oh boy, what did I do wrong, God? Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's just God saying, I'm preparing you, my child. The wilderness is not a place of punishment, but it's a deliberate, temporary, and a purposeful environment that God uses to transition believers from a land of lack. Now, this land of lack could be spiritual stagnation. A lot of it is spiritual. We get stagnated in our spiritual walk because we get fat, dumb, and happy where we're at. or whatever the case is, and we just don't want to go anywhere else. It's like, I feel happy and good right here. But the thing is, if you're not moving, you're stagnated. You're going to become pond scum. Could I say this? Spiritual scum. But many of us become spiritual pond scum because we get into the spirit, the flow. Isn't that when we hear messages in churches and they say, oh, we got into the flow. Step into the water. Step into the river. A lot of people, we get into the river, but many times that river gets dammed up at the top and the bottom because of our life, and we don't keep moving. And pretty soon that water begins to stop flowing. The wilderness presents that God is with us. He provides our needs, ultimately working to bring you out stronger. We said that with that of Isaiah 43:19. So anyway, continuing on with that of Rick's here. So he often describes this period as a killing field where God allows the old fleshly nature to die so that the new fruitful life can grow. Remember, the transition land of lack, like spiritual stagnation, into a land of abundance, their divine destiny. It's often described as this period as a killing field where God allows the old fleshly nature. You got to die to self, man. You got to die to the world. You got to die to your ability. You got to die to your thoughts. You got to die to your knowledge. You got to die to who you think you are and allow nothing but God. The wilderness as a school of dependence. It's shifting from self-reliance. This is all Rick Renner in this book. I think I gave it here somewhere where it was at. The wilderness is designed to strip away all self-sufficiency, forcing you to move from trusting in your own strength to that of relying completely on that of God. Cultivating faith. How much is faith cultivated in your times of the desert, right? It's a training ground where your faith is tested and perfected. It exposes areas in your life where you have relied on human reasoning, or opinions, allowing you to strengthen those areas so that you can handle the responsibilities here again of your what? Future. How many here have a future? Amen. It's a place of supernatural provision. It's the daily manna. Just as God provided manna for the Israelites in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. That's why sometimes when we are, you know, at 39, 38, 40, 45, 50, we're just barely there, man. 70, you're just maybe, you know, halfway there of what God's got planned for you. For 40 years. And one of his teachings that God provides daily manna is to sustain you through your wilderness trek. The manna. Read the Word of God. The manna. The bread of life, Jesus says. The watering of the Word. The Word of God. You want to stay fresh and moist? Read His Word. The watering of the Word. The manna of the Word. It's a divine sustenance. God supplies specific supernatural strength and wisdom to help you outlast the challenges. Too many times we give up too soon. We throw in the towel. We say, I've had enough. Can't do this no more. I've often said sometimes, I just wonder, when I've prayed for something, and we've got people here that are praying for things for many years, right? Everybody can say amen to that. But I always have wondered at times to where I've prayed for things, and it's about the time where you go, man, I've been praying for this for like a year or two, 6 months, whatever the case. And I know it says ask and believe and all that, but then also it says keep knocking. I mean, we can get so twisted and turned in a lot of the verbiages of the scriptures and say, well, you'll get people out there say, well, you prayed for that once, that's all you need to do. Now just start thanking him. Well, I've done that too. Prayed once and I begin to thank. But there's other times I go back and I pray again. Well, it says knock without ceasing, well, all these things. But I've always wondered where we get to that point to where we are just about ready to give up. And something in my spirit, the Holy Spirit in me or something, speaking into my spirit, always says, but Tim, the next time you pray for this, that's the prayer that's going to send it over. Do you think not when you hear that you stop praying? No, you keep praying. When it comes upon my spirit about a situation I've been praying about for many months, days, years, whatever the case is, it's like when I go, oh, gosh, I prayed enough for that. But, oh, wait, maybe just one more prayer. One more prayer of praying, Lord, for your will to be done. But, Lord, this is my desire. I hope it is your desire, but let your will be done. But, Father, I thank you for whatever the outcome is. Don't give up. Don't stop. I liked how he says, to help you outlast the challenges that surround you. We have challenges every day. The enemy is just bombarding us with just challenge after challenge after challenge. He's there to take your eye off the prize. He's there to put your focus back on your yesterdays. He's there to blind you from your future that God has for you. And it's those things within us that you've got to build up within yourself. I can't do it for you. The person next to you can't do it for you. You better look in the mirror. It's up to you, brothers and sister, to hold yourself up to God. It's up to you to pray that prayer to keep going. We can support you and we can agree, but it's up to you to do that step, right? I can't bring you into the promised land. I can't bring you into your tomorrows by dragging you in, because if I drag you in by my faith, by my what I have in that of God, when I let go of you, chances are you're going to go back to where you come. Oh, the giants, they look so big to me. I can't deal with that. Where's my pastor? Where's my prayer support? Where's my people? Well, my friends, you're going to be out there by yourself one of these days, and you better suck it up. You better get close to God on your own two feet, on your own two spiritual feet, to say, I am strong and able to go up and possess my tomorrow because of who I am in the God that I serve, which happens to be the same God you're serving. But he's my God, and he's got a plan for me. And I'm going to succeed in that because he's going to see me through it. It's not always been fun. There's always been challenges. But divine sustenance, supernatural strength and wisdom to help you outlast the challenges that surround you. Now, thirdly, it's a time for preparation and purging, removing the Egypt mentality. Oh, just send me back to where I came from. Who wants to go back where you came from? Now, think about that. I know when our glee of thoughts is like, oh, at least it was much better there, even though I was misery. But I knew I was in misery. But no. Removing the Egypt mentality. That's why we're in the wilderness. The wilderness is used to remove the fear, disobedience, and old, unhealthy habits. It's that Egypt mindset that the enemy wants to keep within us, in our thoughts, to keep you back to where you come from. I'm a new, what? Creation. All things have gone, what? Passed away. All things now and my tomorrows is going. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. How can you not be excited for him? Hey, God, it's not. You're not alone. You're not alone. Oh, Jesus. Wish I had a mirror you could all look into and say, you guys are all special people to God. Oh. No, I'm seeing clearly. I got the eyes of God. No, I see the potential of every of us, because as a child of God, we've got the potential. We've got the potential to go and do and possess and take and have whatever God has planned for us to do. Don't stop. Don't stop. I want you to enter your promised land, developing obedience. God uses the time to teach you to follow his leading, specifically as the Holy Spirit guides you through the difficult. God uses this time to teach you to follow his leading, specifically as the Holy Spirit does what? Guide you through the difficult times. Sometimes they're agonizing. They're very hard. Decisions to shape your character. Oh, man. Number four is a setup for your promised land. You're in the wilderness. It's a setup. God just set you up. Don't you know that? Because he loves you. Preparing for promotion. The wilderness is necessary to prepare you for that next level. I've said that many times for your walk with God. I've always looked at the times and the challenges that I've had. I'm on a plateau here. If I can fulfill this here and learn and glean whatever God wants me to do here, he's going to say, attaboy, now I'm going to rise you up to the next one. And guess what? There's going to be new challenges, Tim. Do you want to stay where you're at? Many of us in the church say, I want to just stay where I'm at. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. But it's not about me. I got to say, but God, are you satisfied where I'm at? Chances are he's going to say no. Because Tim, I've got more. Don't just coast right now. Okay, Lord, let's go to the next plateau. And guess what? We climb up to that plateau and we're on there and everything's going pretty good. But all of a sudden, it's like these old arcade games or like asteroids or something coming at you. Remember that asteroid game where these things like, asteroids, maybe you guys old enough to know that? Yeah, sure, I'm sure you do. Those things, you're going through space and those things going, oh man, test your reflexes. You got to be like, Jedi, the Jedi power. But we get up on that next plateau that God has us, and it's going good maybe a little bit because, see, I'm still living off of my glory of my last plateau. I'm still all of that faith there. Now I'm up to that next one, and now it's like, okay, I got the faith. And then a little bit into it, things begin to challenge a little bit. Things begin to happen that, oh, man, if I would have just stayed where I was at. But no, God doesn't want us to do that. We got to keep going. My plateaus are my promised land. My places of where God's wanting to rise up or raise me up to rise up with him. Oh, I want to keep going as high as he wants to take me. Thank you, Lord. It's the next level of walk with God, a purposeful growth. It's a temporary place that you are passing through to reach the... We are all on this journey for our destiny and our destination. I mean, back to the future, you know? It's not that I'm your Lorraine. Remember how I did that time on that message? I actually played that. Remember that? You guys are old, you don't remember. When I played from Back to the Future, I had him take that clip up and Marty McFly's dad was in that cafe and he says, Lorraine, I'm your destiny. She goes, what? God has got a destiny for you. You're not going back to the future. You're being promoted to your future with the destiny that God has. In Rick Renner's book, Teaching, a Teaching Wilderness for Rick Renner. He emphasizes that to get the most out of this season, the season of the wilderness, there's some things you should do. Three things. A, stop complaining. That's so easy to complain. I don't want to hear it. Nip it, nip it, nip it. The Israelites complained, and their complaining hindered their progress. When you complain, God's got to deal with your complaining. It's like, oh, geez. Okay. How long is Tim going to stop here now and whine? And I'm going to have to pat him. Oh, come on, buddy. You can do it. Come on. Maybe God needs to kick me in the back of the pants and get me going. Amen. The Israelites' complaining hindered their progress. You are your own worst enemy. You are your only one that's keeping you from your future. Remember I said God already has it all planned out. It's prepared. It's for you to go up and take and possess and accomplish what has already been. It's the banqueting table. How many go up to that banqueting table and you're going to just sit there and not partake of the food and the lusciousness? How? It's up to you. Instead, use the time to set your heart on obedience. Begin to grow more into obedience rather than complaining. Secondly, trust the process. Oh, God left me out here to kill me and all this. No, it's the process. It's the process that God has designed. Trust the process. Do not think God has abandoned you. He is allowing some things to die so that other things can be born. You're being pruned. You're being taken care of. The vine dresser is doing what he wants to do so that your lush branch, fruit, Whatever it is that you're doing, it's going to be, your branch is not going to be just a single little branch. It's going to be bushier or something. I don't know. The fruit's going to be bigger. It's going to be juicier. Whatever the case is, but we use that as a parable to understand what's being done within our lives of being pruned by that of God. God is not pruning you because you are not being good. God is pruning you because you are fulfilling what He's asked you to do, and He's saying, now I'm going to take you further, my son and daughter. There, cut that off. Don't whine. Just be looking forward to a new bud coming out, a new level with God. Do not think He's abandoned you. He is allowing some things to die so other things can be born again. And then the last thing is, stay focused on the goal. No, so many times we lose focus. We don't stay focused. The enemy is really good at that. He gets you looking at 15 different places. 5 places. I don't know. Women are multitasking. They could probably do like 15. Men, we're lucky we can only focus on one. But sometimes we get into 5 different things we're focused on and we lose track of everything. That's man. But yes, stay focused on the goal that God has for you. You've got to repeat some verses in your head that if God is for me, who can be against me? But I got so much going on, but yet God says He's all around me protecting me. Yeah, but I'm so weak. But it's not my strength, it's His strength. Yeah, but looking in the natural, it's impossible. But no. With God, all things are possible. See, you've got to just keep talking to yourself. You know, I cannot tell you what verse, version, all that's at, but I know by reading it, it's here. Because I don't need to say verse and chapter and la, la, la. I just need to know the Word of God to say, but God, Your Word said it, and I believe it. It's not up for debate. Just read and devour His Word. And it'll come back out at the time it needs to come back out. When you're going through that struggle. The wilderness is part of your promised land. It's an experience. Just think of all the things we'll be able to say. Hey, hey, I saw you. Hey, you're there too? Yeah, I am. Boy, you should have. Boy, I tell you what, it was a wonderful time getting here. The wilderness is part of your promised land. It's an experience. It's a place to kiss the ground of God's calling. Hallelujah, God. Father, as we have shared about these times and out of the book of Numbers and what took place there, the plan that You had for those individuals, Lord, and it was planned from the very beginning. But Lord, when they got closer to it, there's just some things. And that's for us today, Lord, as we sometimes get closer to where You have and want us to be. It could be a little touchy at times on our natural thoughts and what we see. But I pray, Lord, that us here today, that we would have the eyesight of You, that let our vision be that of God, Your vision. Lord, I pray that You would blind us to the things of this world that would be a detractor and to cause us to have a problem or to stumble or to not truly see the potential that You have for us. And so, Lord, we trust You. We love You. We believe in You. Your Word is true. Your Word does not change. And I pray, Lord, that we, if those of us here today, will continue to walk out and be and get into that promised land. It's to fulfill the call that You have on our lives. And so, Lord, thank You for leading us and guiding us. Thank You for not giving up on us. Thank You, Lord, when we reach our hand out, when we need that hand up, that You're there, that we can truly sense Your hand wrapping around ours and holding on. As we go today, Lord, bless our steps, guide our steps, let us be an encourager. Bring us back next week for more word from You, Father. Bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.